It's Thursday night, time for the Psychic View, with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Rita Strau, Steve Frampton, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Frampton, and I would like to welcome you back to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We continue this week with the third in our four-part series on 2012. Tonight's show is entitled 2012, Far Beyond, because we'll be taking a look far into the future. Before we get started, I'd like to invite my fellow co-hosts to introduce themselves. Firstly, let me introduce Maureen Holleran.
Well, hello, and thank you for the introduction. And my name is Maureen, and I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My ability is to see beyond the range of normal vision, which kind of goes with the show tonight, and 25 years experience as a tarologist, as well as I focus on people that... They may be living up to others' expectations. So if they found they lost their sight or their needs and stuff, I will help them bring them back into some spiritual development. And I have 25 years experience doing this. There you have it.
Well, wonderful. Thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Allura?
Hi. Yes, I use the Native American medicine cards and the Sacred Path cards, and I use them as a portal to go into the realms that enable me to speak with your guides and spirit to give you information in any area of life, and it could be any area, whether it's work, relationships, finances. And what that does is it helps to balance and empower you to make favorable decisions in whatever area of your life that you're asking about.
Fantastic, Allura. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How are you doing this evening? Are you well?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
I'm looking forward to this tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited, and it's a full moon as well, so it should be a great show. Well, it's wonderful to have you both here. I would like to introduce Rita Strau as well. Rita, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's me, Rita Strau. I'm the angel lady. I've been talking to angels now for about 7 years, and what that has led me into is a complete development of many other intuitive and psychic gifts. When I work with the angelic realm, they do channel information to me, both in words, thoughts, feelings, and a knowingness. So usually when I connect with people to provide them with information, it goes to a much deeper soul level. Sometimes past life things come up. But generally, the angelic realm wants to help you have the best life possible. So I help guide people in learning how to talk to their own angels.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you, Rita. And it's wonderful to have the three of you here and for us to be co-hosting the show again. I'm really excited. And tonight I'm delighted to interview our special guest, Anaya Barrera, Mescalero Apache medicine man and director of Native American programs at Verdun Adventure Bound Camp in Virginia. Now, complications during Anaya's birth were interpreted as a spiritual sign by his people that he should be trained as the next medicine man of his clan. He was handed over to his grandfather's medicine lodge at 10 days of age to begin his training, which involved the transfer of ancient, traditional methods passed down from generation to generation. His great-grandfather ran with Geronimo, and his grandfather ran with Pancho Villa. Anaya's methods of healing entail first and foremost spiritual guidance and ancient remedies. He's lived in and amongst his ancestral people, the northern Yaqui tribe of Mexico, the Yucatan, and traveled to Peru. Anaya has an honorary sociology degree from the University of New Mexico. He's worked with NIAAA, teaching trainers and gatekeepers on how to apply his cross-cultural native modality for healing alcoholism and drug addiction. And these substances are seen as the catalyst, but not the core issue of alcoholism or drug addiction. Now, Anaya has been an active medicine man for 41 years. He's currently available to travel as his culture requires to fulfill his calling as medicine man. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Anaya's work, please visit his website, which is www.verdunaadventurebound.org, and that's spelt V-E-R-D-U-N Verdun Adventure Bound. Now today we'll be exploring the future far beyond 2012, and we all know there's such a buzz about the approach of 2012, and it can be viewed as a very challenging but incredibly significant and exciting time. Most of the focus surrounding the 2012 phenomenon relates to December the 21st, 2012, which is the presumed end date of the sophisticated long count calendar created by the ancient Maya in Central America. So many books, articles, websites, and documentaries debate the meaning of 2012. Some believe that it represents the end of time or the apocalypse. Others believe that it represents a renewal, a rebirth of our consciousness. Many of us envision a new future with new capabilities, tools, talent, and energy that will uplift the world, heal others, and resolve some of our long-standing and most important challenges. Now, in this show, we'll try to avoid superstition, focusing upon the positive and taking a glimpse at a potentially very exciting future far beyond 2012. We'll explore technology, demographic shifts, spiritual development, and so much more. Now, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. Now, if you were unable to catch our show on 2012, the numerology factor, with Carmen Hara last week, you will find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows, on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just go to the Archives tab. And please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and family. It's our mission to reach out with our guides and to connect with as many people as possible. So please be sure to tell others about the show. I'm really excited as well to announce that we're now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. So you can tune in there as well. Okay, let's get started. Now, it's an absolute honor to have Anaya Barrera with us tonight. As I mentioned, we'll be talking about the future beyond 2012, which is a fascinating subject. I would like to welcome you to the show, Anaya.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here with you and with the rest of the hosts, and hopefully we will have an enlightening evening. As short as the time is, we'll pretend that it's not relative to us.
Okay? Absolutely, Nyan. It's absolutely wonderful to have you with us this evening, and I know that we'll have a great discussion and a wonderful show. Now, Anaya, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background and expertise. Many people see 2012 as an opportunity for us to embrace our collective consciousness. In other words, to work together and to honor our interconnectedness. And I wanted to start by asking you why you commit your life to spiritual work.
My commitment to it started long before I was born. My grandfather and my great-grandfather, going back five generations, we're all what we call roadmen, or others call us medicine people, medicine men, or shamans. There's many words for it. We ourselves refer to what we do as being hollow bones for the creation and the energy, the universal energy, to be able to flow through us, so that we are actual instruments. Along the way, some of us have had specific training And as you mentioned earlier, I started my priesthood at a very young age. I was given back to the Medicine Lodge when I was 10 days old. And my grandfathers and my father and a couple of uncles raised me in the deserts of New Mexico and Texas in the most traditional way that they knew and carried on their traditions from the way that they were taught. So my being a spiritual leader and an instrument for healing came quite naturally, because I just thought that everybody did that, or everybody was always in prayer and meditation. And the later years of my life, when I was in my 20s, I studied in Minnesota and the Johnson Institute and Hazelden and in alcoholism and drug addiction. So for about 22 years, I was a family therapist in cross-cultural addictions. And in all of those years, the most common problems that came up were the loss of a sense of spiritual connection for the people that were seeking to change the way they felt through alternate means of false agents, whether it be alcohol or drugs. And so I just made a commitment that I would help as many people as I could to redirect their lives so that they were, in fact, spiritually centered. And the satisfaction and the joy that brings is just immensely powerful and rewarding, and keeps you going. So that's why, Steve.
Well, you speak about your work with such passion and ire, and I know that you have you had a fascinating upbringing, and you do wonderful work. And you mentioned universal energy and healing and spirituality, obviously. But I wanted to ask you, Anaya, as we approach 2012, what's your view on mankind's condition?
Well, excuse me, Steve, one of the basic things that I see, of course, is that we have progressed so far in our inventions and in our technology that I see it as a regression rather than progression. And now I see us in a very endangered state because of how we have become separated from our humanity through the mechanization of much and of the work that used to be done hand on hand and person to person. Now, you know, we have wonderful things that, don't get me wrong, computers, our ability to be able to communicate with the thousands of people that are listening to us now and to talk to each other. Otherwise, we ourselves would have been part of that footprint, because there wouldn't be any trees left. We'd use them all up in smoke signals. So I'm glad for some of the technology, but I find that it has gotten us to a point that we have lost the personal connection to one another. And in doing so, we have lost the personal connection to whom each of us believes their creator is. And so, having said that, we are definitely in for some changes. I believe that 2012 is just a date that is very significant in the long count calendar, because of the long count calendar being 52 years. Most of the Mayans lived, you know, maybe into their 30s. A few perhaps lived through a whole count, but being that those 52 years, most of their lives were within the contents of that time span, so it would repeat itself. That's how come we're in on the fifth count now. So when and then, you know, many scholars and other people speak of the count, other counts, the 14th and 15th and so forth. So there's not a sense of total destruction. You know, it is the concept of that it's going to repeat itself. Instead of looking at it in a linear way, we look at it as a repeated in a circle, so that there's definitely many changes. And I think that it's going to not just be that one specific day, but many days, you know, even give, you know, 5-10 years before that, as we have been seeing many, many changes happening already. You know, just as in the Philippines a couple of days ago, the tremendous hurricane, or typhoon as they call it, that occurred, and many other catastrophic things that are happening all over the world. And all of those changes were accounted for in the Mayan foresight. And so we definitely need to be attentive to that and know that there are going to be many, many geographical changes because of the ice melting, and, you know, places that are below sea level obviously are going to be deeper below sea level. And so there's definitely many changes that are going to be occurring. Now, the alignment of those planets is very, very significant. And, you know, we and I don't necessarily, when I say we, those my elders and my advisors, we don't see it as a final doomsday for the whole world, although many, many hundreds of thousands, millions perhaps, will die because of the catastrophic things that have occurred. But that's not to say that hasn't already happened and occurred, and it continues to occur at different levels. However, the changes, because of it being the beginning of a new cycle for us, that's exactly what it is. It's the rebirth and the reawakening of many aspects of our lives. And definitely our footprint on the earth has influenced all of those things.
It's extremely interesting, and I, you know, we've had some discussions on previous shows about sustainability, and I'm really interested by what you said about the planet and the, you know, some of the natural disasters we're seeing. What specifically do you think the planet is trying to tell us?
The best description I ever heard was from I was adopted by Loretta Whirling Wind Horse from the Lakota Nation, and she has crossed over and is with us in spirit. But she told me that Mother Earth was the best example that she had, was like when a dog goes in the water, and in order to get the water off, it comes out and shakes the water off. And the same way as when we get hurt, a cut on our arm, on our hand, anywhere, our body creates a scab. Well, all of these highways and the concrete slabs, the concrete canyons that we have, the high risers, all of these things are like scars and scar tissue on the surface of Mother Earth. So that's one of the views that I have, is that her attempt to cleanse all of the impact that we've had, you know, because of our industrialization and so forth, is that she's going to attempt to get that scar tissue off so that she can heal better. And, of course, you know, all of us know that once the scab comes off, our skin starts to heal and look better, and Mother Earth, being the most wonderful of all female representatives, she has to look beautiful, and a lot of these ribbons of black tar, you know, thrown across the whole nation and nations in the world, are just not natural. We didn't do it in a natural way. And so the cleansing is the alignment of the planets and the the magnetic properties that will be in effect is basically our teachings. My teachings are that the alignment is necessary in order for us to stay within the accepted thought of the Earth tilting on its axis so much every year, and especially during 2012, that's going to be very important. So I don't see us, the whole population of living things being wiped off the Earth. That's just not something that we conceptualize, nor have I ever heard anyone actually say that it's going to be a total destruction of the human race. But it's we've already overstepped our boundaries to the sustainability that the Earth has for X number of people in, you know, a given space. So the alignment is positive repositioning and regaining the life force that Mother Earth carries, and the effects that we have on other planetary systems are very important. The interesting thing to us is, of course, that for us it's always been that the cycles repeat themselves. And, of course, you know, the most brightest star, that the Venus that the Mayans studied so much, and they were so guided by the celestial and the cosmics, that they knew so much more than we do even now, that it's important for us to pay attention and be open-minded enough to glean the benefits from the changes and to learn from our mistakes. Three Mile Island and the other devastations that have happened with our nuclear power and so forth. So we need to really be attentive to how we carry on from here forth, and to be attentive of the Native American, the North American aspect of the hoop, the sacred hoop coming back together of the nations, the four separate nations that we see it as. And so it's very, very positive and exciting to us that we get another chance to do better than we have in the past. You know, to Native Americans, as you know, we've always walked with moccasins, and when we dance, we start off slowly, tapping gently on Mother Earth. We don't want to use golf shoes with spikes on them and you know, wake her up rudely. We want to dance to her and drum with the heartbeat of Mother Earth and bring one another to total consciousness of the universal energy that is there by those of us who are dedicated to spirituality and to correcting the mistakes that we've made in the past. It doesn't do us any good to point fingers at who's done this wrong or who's done that wrong. It is for us to look at it and say, let's look at who is doing things right. And when we look at that, we must take into consideration the Native American ways of treating Mother Earth and the balance of taking just enough. You know, people don't really think about it, but many camps, many encampments, Apache, Navajo, Dene, Lakota, we moved thousands of people from one camp to another camp. And yes, we made a footprint, but that footprint was along riverbeds and along dry beds and things that we knew would not be a permanent scar on Mother Earth, that the waters would come and wash the fact that, you know, 50,000 people just walked through here in a 3 or 4 month span. And we have to consider the elders and the wisdom of our elders and stop putting our elders in these nursing homes where they waste away. And, you know, we need to utilize them and keep them in our lives, have them teach our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So in our progress, I think we are going to have to digress back to the ways of old, because the sustainability, as here at Verdun, we take an average-sized garden and teach people how to grow sustainable gardening, how to do sustainable gardening to grow enough food for a family of four to be able to can and eat all of the food, as far as vegetables are concerned, that they would need to consume during that year. And there's natural ways of preservation that we don't need all these additives that extend shelf life for 20 years. You know, if we can just go from year to year. One of our best illustrations for that, I guess, is, you know, coming around the corner for Thanksgiving, where during the harvest we shared with the newcomers the things that we had harvested throughout the year, and we knew that they didn't have enough from experience. So that's why we were open to having them share in our harvest. And so harvest festivals need to become sustainable harvest festivals.
What you and I, you know, you've really opened my mind and just given a very different, you know, really advanced perspective on sustainability. I hadn't really thought of the your description of us leaving scars on the earth, and what you've said is absolutely fascinating. I wanted to ask you, and I, you mentioned the galactic alignment, and
yes,
you mentioned the planetary alignment. So the fact that what we're doing here has an impact elsewhere. And I was really interested to ask you about something I saw on CNN just about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
There are a number of senior people from the military, or retired members of the military, but senior people that said that there's evidence and many accounts of UFOs on Earth, and particularly monitoring our nuclear weapons, nuclear installations. And, you know, we're looking to the future. What's your view on UFOs and our potential connection with other planets, other civilizations in moving forward beyond 2012?
Well, my opinion, Steve, is this. I cannot conceive that we are the only, we may be the only humans. Other people in other planets, we may address them as something different. But as far as life on other planets, I am beyond certain for myself that exists. And multi-dimensional aspects of our lives, there are many things that, for example, I'd like to use the illustration, when you walk over to the wall in the morning to flip on that light switch, you don't see the electricity, but yet you know it's there. And when you flip that switch, that is your affirmation that you believe in multiplicity of different dimensions, simultaneous dimensions. So when I extend that to the universe, I have to allow for the fact that just because we don't see them doesn't mean that they're not there or that they're not real. And, of course, there are many, many claims that very official people and very well-respected military men and women that have reported seeing these things, the astronauts and so forth. And, of course, because of conditioning and fears and the people in charge thinking that they know the best for the rest of us, have decided to maybe not share all of the information because of whatever fears that, you know, they come in. You know, they're already biased and they're prejudiced that, you know, if you have all this information, it may be misused or, you know, whatever, instead of allowing each of us to know and understand the fullness of the truth. All we ask is, you know, for everybody to share the truth. And we'll make up our own minds. But for me, Steve, yes, I believe that, you know, there are many, many aspects of life. Even in some of the Mayan tablets and buildings, you will see things that, to me, appear to be what I would describe as terrestrial travelers or astronauts. And there's many, many things on this earth that we have not explained. And, of course, science is determined to figure out how they lifted all those rocks on Stonehenge. But if you look at the energy that it takes to do anything, to move a rock from one point to another point, it is simple energy. And once you learn how to harvest energy, then you're capable of doing all of these things. And I am beyond certain that other civilizations, other living beings have just dropped hints and have given us insights that have helped us get along this far and not push that nuclear button. And so I hope that they're watching very close and keep those fingers in a fist instead of pointing, because I certainly pray that that never happens, because it would be catastrophic, not just for the humans, but for Earth itself. And, you know, when you drop a pebble in the water and the rings of extend all the way to the shores, it may not be the same as where the rock dropped, but the effects will be felt around all of the shores where you drop that rock.
And, you know, and I really love the way you describe that and the way you describe everything. It's just it really makes me see things in a completely different way on a much higher level. So thank you, Anna. You've got so much to share. And you know that concept of dropping a pebble in the water and iron, and the ripple going much further, but the effect being felt elsewhere, just reminded me of how interconnected we are. And you mentioned Stonehenge, and I'm fascinated by Stonehenge. I visited Stonehenge for the second time earlier this year, and it's just an incredible place. And we still don't know. You've implied that that the stones were transported with energy, but it just reminded me of being in England, and I remember as a child seeing crop circles. So particularly in the you know, out in Hampshire, Berkshire, and different locations in the UK, you see it's quite common place to find a crop circle. And my reaction around the UFO press release was similar to yours. I thought, thank goodness somebody is watching out for us, because we're just so out of control and really living in quite a dangerous time. But
yes, we are.
I wanted to ask you, Anaya. You know, I'm really interested in telekinesis or psychokinesis. So, using the mind, using energy to displace something, to actually move a physical object. So, going back to your comment about Stonehenge, do you feel then, you know, far beyond 2012 that telekinesis, being able to move an object with the mind and with energy, do you feel that will become commonplace and something that we may practice in the future even more?
I certainly do, Steve. For myself, as hollow-boned, as an instrument of creation and an extension of my creator, I believe that kinetic energy is what is generally misunderstood in the healing process. If you come to me, Steve, and say, Anaya, I have this issue with my shoulder, the first thing that I'm going to do, I'm just briefly going to go past this. I will.
Well, Anaya, I wanted to just interrupt you because you're bang on target. I do have an issue with my shoulder. I was actually, I saw the chiropractor this afternoon, so carry on. I'm fascinated to hear you. Incredibly in tune.
Yes.
It's better than it was, but still some work to do.
For me, the very simple, if you just take your hands and you rub them together so fast that you create heat, and then you separate your hands just half the thickness of a sheet of paper, and then you place those hands on that shoulder, one on each side of it, so that you have a sending and a receiving conduit, and you pass energy, kinetic energy, through that diseased, infected area, you will in fact be magnetically realigning tissue and everything, because we're basic electronic components. People talk about we're going to have droids and all of these things. Forget about it. God created us electronically. That's how our body responds. Everything is an electronic message from nerve to nerve and so forth. So that is what I utilize when I'm doing healings and so forth, is kinetic energy and sound. And again, that is, the transformation of passing energy through something that is sick. White man, modern medicine is catching up with the Native Americans and the Mayans and the ancient ones. I think they call it sonic or ultrasound or something like that. They use ultrasound to be able to fix bruised bones and those kind of things. Well, our drums, our rattles, all of those things that we make for each individual healing that Spirit directs us to use comes from being able to pass energy. I mean, our kids, they listen to music at such a level that they feel it through their whole body. And many times I direct people to listen to music, in particular to classical music, as loud as they can, because it hits all the different octaves, and hopefully somewhere in there, until you get to a point where you're face-to-face with a healing individual, you can make yourself feel better by doing certain things and understanding energy. And so, yes, very much. So, by the way, I'll work on your shoulder here telepathically, and hopefully it'll feel better in the morning.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. You're a gentleman. You've got so much knowledge. It's just incredible. I'm really enjoying hearing what you have to say. And Anaya, you mentioned earlier in the discussion technology. So we all talk and read about emerging technology. So now we have wireless devices, and I've read a number of books and articles about some of the technologies of the future. But I wanted to ask you about wireless devices and electromagnetism. I have had problems with cell phones. There's a particular type of cell phone that gives me a problem, and it actually causes me physical pain. Do you feel that some of the new technologies and technologies of the future are potentially hazardous?
Yes, very much so, Steve. For me, it goes back to the simplicity of how energy moves. Okay, we have learned to create different conduits, telephone wires, and fiber optics, and all of these things. And yet, here you and I are talking through the air, which has always existed. So, when we know how to direct energy, we're safe. But it's when that energy is not understood that we have problems with it. You know, one of my basic teachings is that nothing left in its natural order is against us. You know, for example, if I'm out in on safari and I come across a lion, as long as I stay in my place inside of my metal cage, because that's where I'd be if I came across a lion, and he's in his natural element and I am not out of my natural element, I'm going to be safe. But if I'm out there running like an antelope or like a chimpanzee or standing up on two legs and running, obviously that lion is going to look at me in its own natural way as, ah, there goes a good Indian dish. I'm going to eat that one.
Well, that's incredible. And we'll talk more on there about the mental cage and okay. Energy. We're going to take a short commercial break, Anaya, so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com, and we'll talk much more.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back. We're back on air after that commercial from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. And I wanted to ask you more about the mental cage and the energy. So, you know, we practice psychic work and mediumship on the show, the Psychic View. Do you feel that in the future, psychic work, telepathy will be much more mainstream and accepted by most people?
I think that it will. It's going to take, the upcoming events and the world changes to get people to not be so biased and to not be so prejudiced that conditions have to be what they perceive them to be with their little mind. If I allowed myself to be limited by the small, I'm only 58 years old, and that's not a very big world picture. Of course, I've made it through one of the Mayan counts when I turned 52. And by the way, I was born in 1952. And that also was an indicator for, you know, my elders and my teachers. So it's very much a part of our daily lives, as I understand it. And the psychic aspect of it, to me, I have to go back to and refer to our mothers and their intuitiveness to, you know, drop the clothes basket, you know, stop hanging clothes on the clothesline and get in that kitchen because your kid's about to pull over the soup pot. I've seen that happen personally. I've seen, you know, the intuitiveness, psychic, I don't know what, you know, I don't want to limit it to a word describing that energy, but I know that as a parent and as a grandfather, I'm able to tune in to my children's energy, no matter where they are. And I'll call them, and I have had experiences with people that, you know, the phones don't even ring. You know, they're fixed, they're calling me, I'm calling them, and Anaya, yes, hey, this is Jim. Well, the phone didn't even ring. He said, I know, I was trying to call you, and, you know, things like that, that I can't explain them, Steve, but I know that they're real. They're real in my life, and I believe that if people stop, you know, threatening to put us in white jackets and little padded rooms, we'd feel freer to talk about these things as you and I are talking. But most of us on the streets, we are afraid that the white coats are going to come get us if we express ourselves honestly. So we limit our communication to those few people that are close enough to us that we can entrust them with our lives and with our innermost thoughts and self-disclosure so that, you know, they can tell us things about ourselves that we don't see on our own. If I'm willing to self-disclose to you, I'm sure you're much more willing to tell me things about yourself, and that comfort level increases. And because of that, I think that the psychic aspect, or let's call it the psychic world, is going to become much, much more important to all of us. You know, I take guidance from the stars. I take guidance from the clouds, and I read intuitively the things that the earth is telling me, and I try my best to walk in peace and to walk in a way that my brothers and sisters will accept me, no matter what culture they're from. If I come from my heart, you know, to speak to you, then I think I'll have a much better reception than if I come to you just because of my color or because of my culture and an attitude that that brings with it, or a bias that that brings with it. You know, I understand and believe that first and foremost, each and every one of us is an extension of our creators. And therefore, each and every one of us has a piece of godliness, or the majesty of being a part of the earth and the stardust and all of the things that, you know, we are, whether it's through evolution or through creation. Somewhere along the line, it was creation. And, you know, I don't put evolution aside. I believe that there's many aspects of life that we just don't fully understand yet because we haven't been humanly awake in our minds enough. You know, 300-400 years is not long enough to be able to talk to the rocks. You know, yes, we can talk to many animals, but I'm excited about the way the rocks talk to me. And I can assure you that women know for certain that rocks talk, because you put a diamond on a girl's finger and she knows what you mean by that.
That's really fair. It's a great way of putting it. And I know that you and Alora are wonderful friends. And are you? I mean, you've obviously had many conversations with Anaya, Alora, but I just find Anaya's insight fascinating.
It is. It's fascinating, and it's different, and it's very much from the heart.
Absolutely.
And you can hear it. Yeah. It's genuine.
Well, it's from accepting the fact that there are individuals like yourselves that, you know, there's no way I would ever dream of creating, you know, a talk show and like this, or, you know, but as being a part of it with you guys, you know, to know that I'm a part of it. And like Doug, I mean, he had a fascinating dream when he came up with this psychic concept of, you know, that takes intuitiveness and it takes insight. And, you know, so by me not needing to compete with Doug or with you, Steve, or Alora, anybody, I look at life that each of us is, as Dr. Snyder here at Verdun says, every one of us is like an acorn. Every one of us has a genius inside of us. And all of us have the opportunity to allow that genius within us to grow. From a little bitty acorn, you get the great, big, majestic tree. And it just, you know, the lives that supports, birds and worms in its roots and all of the things, you know, and the tree itself is alive, the fibers, you know, the cellulose and the bark, you know. People think, okay, it's wood. Yeah, but, you know, when I go into a ceremony and I build a sacred fire, people say, well, why is it sacred, Anaya? I said, because my standing brother just gave his life up so that I could heat those rocks up, that I might pour water. And I have all of these chemicals that I'm mixing together, and I'm not even a chemist, but I feel safe because I know that my standing brothers, the trees, the water, the elements, the earth elements, are a part of me, and I am a part of them. So when I utilize them, it's not that I'm worshiping the rocks or I'm worshiping the sun. It's that I am acknowledging that I am using their life to transform energy in order to create something that I have been taught. I know that heat helps with swelling and with pain and sore muscles. So if I know that, well, then I attempt to replicate it some way. I would much rather heat a rock up, throw it in a pot of water, put a towel in it, than to, you know, plug in an electric heating pad. I have a friend that taught me about microwaves. So when I heat up my coffee, I step off to the side of it or into the next room while it heats up.
It's really funny that you say that, Anaya, because when I moved to the States, I was, you know, the UK, it's quite rare in a home to see a real fire. And I was adamant when I moved to the US that I had to have a real fireplace so that I could, you know, I could create a real fire. And it's, you know, everybody said to me, oh, you know, they're difficult to clean and it's easier to have gas. But I went with my decision, and it gives me so much peace.
So much
healing. But your comment about the microwave is very interesting, because I always step away from the microwave as well. So could you just talk to us a little bit more about that?
Well, number one, not fully understanding all that's going on with microwave, other than its molecules rubbing up against each other, creating the heat. It's a little bit, you know, I don't really operate a computer. I'm a brand new beginner on the computer, and I've got some people that are willing to teach me. So there's many aspects of just, you know, what's here now that many of us don't understand. And again, it's also very simple. It is just realignment of atoms and molecules and so forth. And again, it goes back to the magnetic thought that if you have opposing magnets, they'll push away from each other when you have south to south, but when you have north to north, you know, north to south, they'll stick together. Otherwise, they'll repel each other. And, you know, so I attribute many, many things, like people who repel us, or who we are repelled by, or it's simply because their energy is, they fit into a part of the cosmic puzzle that is not in line with what I'm doing. So it's not that I don't respect them and I don't see a need for them, it's that I'm just not comfortable, being in that situation, and, you know, and it's, I respect the fact that we have differences that will teach us, because I believe that all of us are here to either learn from one another or to teach one another. So when a person comes into my life, I'm not going to just automatically turn them away, because that might be the teacher that I've been looking for all my life. And so when I had the opportunity to speak the first time on your show, it was wonderful that, the comments that I got back. And, you know, because I was scared, I've spoken at churches and auditoriums and schools, and I've held workshops, you know, and many things. But to talk on a radio talk show when, you know, I don't know who's listening, but if my teacher is out there, please get in touch with the Psychic Radio Talk Show and say, hey, I need to get a hold of Anaya. How can I do that? I want to teach him something. I'm ready to learn, and I'm also ready to teach. And, you know, that's the main thing that we try to do here at Verdon, is teach sustainability and spirituality, the common things, the similarities, as opposed to the differences. And when you step onto these grounds, these are holy grounds at Verdon. I thoroughly believe that. Within weeks of being here, I got here because Dr. Snyder didn't know how to put up a 24-foot teepee, and he couldn't find anybody around. So through mutual friends, they got me here to do that. And now we're building the whole Indian village so that we can do reenactments. Instead of Civil War reenactments in history, or his story, it's going to be our story, our reenactment. It's going to be our history, not his story. And his,
that's a very interesting way of putting it, Anaya, his story.
Thank you.
It's incredible. And I want to thank you so much. I'll definitely have to visit Verdon.
Oh,
it just sounds absolutely magical. And, you know, you spoke about teaching. You are an incredible teacher. I don't think I've ever learned so much from any one conversation I've had that I can recall. You're just amazing. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Anaya. We've got so much respect for you, for your heritage, your knowledge, and we really appreciate you sharing your insights on the future beyond 2012 with us tonight. It's just been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Well, it's an honor for me as well, Steve. And as you say, you know, we're all a part of the puzzle, and the more that we can come together like this, and those listeners that are out there itching to get in touch with us, just follow your intuition. You know, get a hold of us somehow. Just will it to happen and allow yourself the beauty of life being you to bathe you in its joy and happiness. You know, take off your mask and open up yourself to let the sun touch your face and let your eyes hold the stars. Let your arms hold the world, you know, and let your lips brush mine. Let your mind know the feeling of being loved, because we do love you guys, with or without your masks, because we've taken ours off. Steve, Doug, Allura, everyone. That's why we are here, Steve. And I so much appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity.
And we appreciate you, Anaya.
Yes. Yes, we love you, Anaya.
Thank you, Laura. I love you guys, too. And I so much appreciate that you had the courage to have me back.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Anaya. And it's quite funny because I wanted to say I love you, and I thought, oh, well, that's not something I should say. And it's so wonderful that you guys just said it, because I'd love you, Anaya. You're amazing.
He is. And for anyone who wants to get in touch with Anaya, all you need to do is, apart from following your intuition, as he said, you can get on the computer and go to www.verdunadventurebound.org. Good night, Anaya. God bless. We love you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Anaya.
Thank you, Anaya.
Bye. Thank you, Steve, Doug, everybody. Look forward to talking to you.
Take care, Anaya.
Okay, good night.
Thank you so much for joining us, and what an amazing man, and such an incredible insight. Just blew me away. And I wanted to thank Anaya as well for mentioning Doug. Doug is the producer of our show, and as Anaya said, he had incredible vision when he created PsychicAccess.com and Psychic Access Talk Radio, and he does a huge amount of work to make the show successful. So I'm really grateful for Anaya mentioning Doug. Now, for those of you who want to see more information about Anaya, as Allura mentioned, you can have a look on the website. You can also find his information on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And I'd like to take a few moments before we talk more about the future far beyond 2012. I just want to make a few announcements. Firstly, please be sure to join us next Thursday evening, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So join us on the 28th for the last in our series of 2012 shows. And also be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. Now, if you're interested in a reading from some of the best psychics on the net, you can go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find wonderful accuracy-tested psychics who are all verified. They have their unique gifts, and there are profiles about each psychic telling you all about them on the website, psychicaccess.com. I know that other psychics who have worked on other sites have said that, you know, Psychic Access really is the best website to use. I know that when I was hired by psychicaccess.com, the selection process was very rigorous, and the standards are very high. So come along and check out Psychic Access if you would like a reading. It's a very credible and wonderful website with great integrity, and I know that working there, my reputation and my work and energy are very safe. You'll also find the co-hosts for the Psychic View all work on psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, just come along and get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And for those of you who are site owners or webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading for traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. And if you'd like more details about that fantastic offer, then please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now, we will be taking calls later in the show, so I want to give you the telephone number if you'd like to call us for a free reading. The number is 724-444-4851. Now, this is the time in the show where the co-hosts interact. It's also a very exciting part of the show because everybody has a lot to share, and we have always have a really interesting conversation. I wanted to start by asking Rita to tell us about her view of the future far beyond 2012, and particularly what insight you felt Nostradamus gave us about the future, Rita.
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah. Very well, perfect.
Okay, great. I know I had a little bit of audio problems tonight, but well, I have my own thoughts about the future, but one of the things that he said that struck me as very near and dear to my heart is when early on in the interview he mentioned humanity as being almost endangered because we've become separated from our humanity through our own advances in technology. And I could really understand where that's coming from, because I've been having a lot of really deep feelings about this, the fact that we've lost connection with our food, where it comes from, our ability to create our own, you know, places to live, and how to really secure and sustain our own, you know, materials that we need to live. We've become very dependent, and we don't really know or understand the source of where our important supplies come from. So when he said that, it really rang true for me, and I found it to be a very insightful chunk of wisdom, is that, you know, we do need to get back together again. We need to be living in smaller groups, interconnected, living together in ways that evoke thoughts of tribal unity, where, you know, for the majority of our time, we should really be focused on connecting, telling stories, praying, singing, dancing, celebrating our spirituality, and that's not happening now. So we're losing a large piece of our humanity that way, and I thought that was really powerful for me.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, I don't know if you guys feel that way too, but
yes, I mean, everything he said, it's the way he says it, right?
Yes.
can you hear the when I say we, yeah, mainly those of us who've been raised in a sort of white culture, or our educational system, the public educational system, the way we have, mm-hmm, we look at things more almost like separate from nature intellectually, mm-hmm, right? But when, yeah, he speaks, you can tell he relates it all to,
yeah,
himself, the reality of that he lives in, and natural kind of ways, and it's very wise.
It is. And I mean, you know, my own feelings about the future, and these, again, I go back and look at like Nostradamus and some of the predictions. You just kind of go back and see who else was thinking about these times that we're in right now. And some of his predictions around 2012 evoke thoughts of peace, union. He talks about profound changes within offices, you know, how those who are low will be raised high, those who are high will be low, and it's a journey, and he saw wars coming to an end, any kind of injustices coming to an end. So that's sort of my intuitive feeling also, is that everything that we're going through right now is leading up to correcting injustices, restoring sanity and balance to our lives, and working toward this common goal of cooperation with love and harmony. Love, for me, has become almost the overriding issue in my mind. Every single thing I do, I focus on love. I come back to love. I see people with love. I choose love more than anything else, and it's changing my life. So I do think that as we go through these painful times, coming back to those grounding pieces of us, the love, cooperation, balance, and harmony is going to help us move through this. And we're being sort of forced into that now. We're being forced to help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's my feeling.
I think so, too. Yeah, things are getting tough, and we're being forced to look at things differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think, though, you know, that it is a painful time for many people. You know, the economy is dreadful, and there are so many changes and natural disasters. But it's almost as though we're being forced to wake up. And I wanted to ask Maureen, what are your thoughts on the conversation, and what are your thoughts about the future far beyond 2012?
I have a lot of thoughts that I am very strong about. Can everybody hear me?
Sure. Yeah.
Perfectly.
Oh. I muted myself because I don't want to create any background noise.
It's like, oh, something happened. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa.
I'll unmute. No, because we're all listening, Maureen.
I know. Everybody's like, oh. You know, there is a greater sense of oneness with our race and a great ability to understand the universe right now. But it is about finding, and like, you know, Rita said it, hearts and our hearts and love, and knowing that we are all connected with compassion and love. We're becoming more aware of this, and it's almost like it is what it is. But I want to make it clear, for me, this is not an ending. Rather, it's the most remarkable beginning that we all, man and woman alike, will embrace. From that time, we shall begin a new calendar, one that is made collectively. I also feel that I really thought hard about this, but this is a time people need to know what is the purpose of their life. You know, what's a true purpose? So in this process of taking our power back, it's important that we pay attention off of the 2012 date as well as being some, you know, linear, whatever. You know, there I go with Atlantis. I don't know. It's true. Point in the future. So we're taking that, you know, we're focusing on that to the point in the future that some event is going to happen that determines our fate. And the reality is that we are all on a journey right now through the shifting of the world, age cycles. We have been from around the 60s. But we have to understand this is a process we are now in, not a product that will necessarily arrive on a particular day and time. As it's obvious, focusing on the future projections is a distraction to this moment, I think, and its opportunities. So, you know, while maintaining the awareness of the larger context, you know, of the time of prophecy, we know that this is a here and now and is where our life is playing out, rather than projecting, you know, imagine a lot of things coming out of our mind into the future. This is a moment of empowerment, the now. And it is clear that we are living in times of great uncertainty and great imbalance, but we need to realize that terrorizing ourselves by energizing fear-based rumors does not assist us in rising to the great challenges that we're facing. So fear, we talked about this earlier, I think, before we even started the show, is a reality. We're all doing it, but based on, you know, our understanding how vulnerable we actually are, we need to understand that I don't like to use the word believe, but I know is what I know. All fear are thoughts, and all the fear comes from thoughts. And we can easily become shut down, delusional even, in many ways feed the fear that can lead us into future darkness. I say this doesn't need to happen. There's nothing to wait for. We are light. We are right to think. I just think we should always focus in the now as well. Do you guys follow me?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. I totally agree with everything you just said.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is, I want to say this too as well. It's interesting because I thought about this. Do you know that actually they call it apocalypse. Yeah, you know,
apocalypse.
I knew,
sounds like, yeah, you're, you know, speaking French then.
And I was. Thank you. You got it.
You didn't know you could do that.
So, no, the thing of it is, people, what they don't understand is that it's interesting if you look it up, it actually has to do with people taking off the blind, you know, the blinders are being lifted off. Right. That's, I mean, in reality, things are going to be unveiled to us. So it's really, if you do look it up, it's almost like a revealing. It's a time, the meaning of the word, actually, that word is revealing of which has been hidden, lifting of the veil, uncovering, and we can see the phenomenon in our world as it covers are being lifted. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's really, that word can be really tormenting too. I know that. So, mm-hmm. you know, the insanity and all this that we're pushing ourselves in, really we do have so much beauty and wisdom living within our own hearts, and now it's revealing themselves right now. We're in the now. So there, that's my take.
Sister.
Yeah, so, you're fascinating, Maureen. That's wonderful.
Why, thank you. I am fascinating.
She's very like when people say, you're good looking. I am good looking, aren't I?
I want to hear you speak more French, Maureen.
I will.
It'll boost our listenership and spread the word.
Yeah, don't worry, it'll happen.
Now, Alora, when I was talking, he mentioned energy and healing, and he was giving me advice about my shoulder, and I tried it, and it worked, so I'm going to do more of that. But I know that you have a great passion for alternative therapy. So, you know, as we move well beyond 2012, do you see us using more and more alternative therapies and different ways of healing each other?
Yes, I absolutely do. We already know that at least 66% of Americans on surveys that were done have used some form of mind-body medicine or alternative therapy. And even though it's not really a part of mainstream medicine or accepted yet, I do believe it will become more and more the medicine of the future. And one of the reasons is because we're just coming to a point where patenting chemicals isn't going to cure a problem. It usually causes, it helps, and there's a place for it, but it's not the complete answer to all of the problems we have, and part of that is because we don't yet acknowledge that there's more than one body. We don't just have a physical body. We have an actual mental body. We have an actual intuitive body. We have an actual emotional body as well as a physical body, and things manifest in those bodies. So in a lot of ways, and the physical body is where things manifest last. Pills can't fix that. They can kind of keep us going, or they can keep us going. Obviously, they help us if there's a real emergency and our bodies need to be kicked into gear. But alternative therapies will become more and more the medicine of the future. It's certainly less expensive, and it will be more effective to work hand in hand with what's here as far as our mainstream medicine is concerned. We're already seeing evidence of this through the fact that chiropractic care and acupuncture are becoming more widely accepted here in the United States and covered by mainstream insurance companies. More and more, we'll probably see hospitals allow energy workers, like Reiki people, therapeutic touch, you know, people and other practitioners, as well as medicine men like Anaya, massage therapists and so forth, allowed to work with patients and be more accepted by doctors to work cooperatively for the patient's well-being. Medical schools will incorporate these in their classes in the future. That's what I see. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Andrew Weil. He's a very, very well-known doctor, and he practices a lot of holistic stuff. He's already teaching a lot of some holistic classes in the medical school in Arizona. So herbalism, holistic nutrition, energy work, and mind technologies will definitely become accepted on a more mainstream level in the future. How far into the future, I don't know, but beyond 2012, I just don't see how it can be any other way in terms of people demanding effectiveness in their medical care and wanting to live a healthier lifestyle and want to see their relatives live a quality life, and seeing over time that there are more, educating themselves more and more, that there are side effects, after effects to drugs, and that nothing has been cured after all these millions and billions of dollars going towards, you know, cancer research and so forth to find a patented drug that will work for, you know, cancer and so forth. So it will be less considered quackery and more mainstream at some point. We're already seeing doctors and psychologists using these methods like Deepak Chopra.
I love
him. Oh, he's fabulous. And Laura, you know, I've had some minor health problems this year and just couldn't get them fixed with conventional medicine, and chiropractic was the solution. I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and saw an incredible doctor called Dr. Hosenfeld, and he absolutely fixed my my problems. It's just amazing.
That is. It really is. I mean, I paid $60 for a massage therapist to clear out my lymph and I couldn't get any food in. I couldn't keep liquids down. I was really getting sick. It would have been an emergency room hospital experience, which would have led to who knows the costs and what kind of, and it cost me $60 and that woman saved my life.
Wow. Well, that's amazing, Laura. Unfortunately, she did, because we love having you with us on the show. We'll talk much more about that in a moment. So we're just going to take another short commercial break. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Perfect. Well, we're back again, and I'm really excited to continue this conversation. It's absolutely fascinating. I was learning so much from all of you, and I wanted to go back to you, Rita. I know that you're interested in the interpretation of the Beatitudes, and wanted you just to talk to us a little bit about that and educate us a little more.
Well, you know how these things come to mind. It's like you read different things, you talk to different people, and the pieces start to come together of a puzzle, and I think that's the creation or the formation of wisdom. But I was raised Catholic, and so I remember hearing these Beatitudes that Jesus spoke of in his Sermon on the Mount. And I used to wonder, what does that mean? The meek will inherit the earth, and, what does this really mean? And as I look forward into 2012 and beyond, it appears to me that those who have been satisfying their ego all along and not really paying attention to the true, real piece of them, the spiritual side, those are the ones that are kind of, they're not going to find the soul growth. But those who are considered meek, I suppose, would be the ones who are more spiritually minded. They will be the ones, in my mind, who will quote-unquote, inherit the earth, because there's just, in my feeling, there's principles of love and compassion, peace and harmony, that allow people of this nature to become the majority. Like, we all people everywhere want to feel accepted. They all want to feel love. This is a basic human principle. Now, there are some people who have maybe an illness or something that prevents them from understanding this, but most people, if you go out on the street and talk to anybody, they all want to be loved and accepted. This is a fundamental human thing. So as more and more people just go for that instead of the big, huge mansion and the big, huge car and who has more than the other person, go for the simpler side of life. They will be the people who will be able to survive in the times ahead, because you can't depend on the things that we have depended on in the past. You can't depend on real estate to be your saving grace in retirement anymore. You can't depend on big stable companies like AIG to be there. No, we're bailing them out, you see. So all of those mighty things that we once held in such high regard are coming apart. And that's one of the interpretations that I have. I feel that people are coming into their own now and wanting answers to the truth of who they are, why they're here. Like Maureen said earlier, it's all about life purpose. Why am I here? What is it? People are hungry for this. And that's what he said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It depends on how you define righteousness. I see it as truth, justice, and understanding of who you really are. This is about to emerge. This is all good stuff. It's all good. Everything that's coming out now, I'm like it going, yay. I want the old institutions to crumble. I want things like organized religion to sort of break apart so that people can live that song that John Lennon wrote so long ago. Imagine. That song has such power when you hear it. It does, because we all
recognize really does.
It as the truth. It's the
truth.
Yeah. It's the truth. So
I think that's why it was so popular.
Exactly. In these spiritual texts that we've read, or from, especially things that Jesus said, if you interpret them in light of your new wisdom, you will see that he is showing the way. It's sort of like he's just one being among many showing the way. But it's coming to fruition. This is what is meant. I believe that right now, right here, we are in the kingdom of heaven. every single day is a miracle. You know what I mean? So if you remember that, if you wake up, you open your eyes and go, I'm here, I've arrived, there's nowhere else to go, you're happy. You just achieve happiness and enlightenment, and it's a beautiful way to live, simple.
Yeah, that's fascinating, you know, Rita. And I remember once asking my guides about heaven. I had a low day, and I asked them, well, you know, I wonder what heaven will be like. And that's exactly the response I got. You are in heaven.
Right. And, we're here now.
Yeah, it's what we make it. And, you know, I wanted to ask you again, Maureen, to give us insight. Rita's comments about the Beatitudes were fascinating, and I certainly learned something there. Maureen, what are your thoughts about all of this, and particularly about Mayan prophecy?
Well, I'm going to get off that Mayan prophecy for a moment, because I think they're lovely, but I think that they I think that they were very smart, but I think that they are they're like symbolic of what the ones before them and everything that's happened, the cycles that go round and round. The thing that I really started thinking a lot about after, you know, I did put that point in, but I wanted to say there is nothing to wait for. We're right in the thick of this right now. And our shared journey, I talked about it a moment ago, but it is that we are all connected at this moment and manifest accordingly to how we navigate from this here and now. Now, the Mayans do have this calendar, you know, we all know, we've heard about it, but will it end on that day or the day, whatever? I think that it's not so much about that. I think it's important that it's almost like how, as far as that actual day of 2012, you know, December 21st goes, ultimately with all the variables and all the unknowns and unknowables, no one can say with any certainty that we will or will not happen precisely on this, you know, winter solstice of 2012, nor how gradually or rapidly the changes yet to come will unfold. We are already living through a time of unspeakable intensity on the edge of extinction and breakthrough. But I feel very good about the fact that the Mayans are what they were and who they were, because we're all now here talking about this, and a lot of other people are too, whether it be good or bad. Everybody's getting, I mean, the world is, and we're coming together.
Absolutely.
It's true. Very true.
Really, and I'm really excited about just the fact that we've come together on this show. I love being on the show with you guys, and we have fantastic listeners as well, and really exciting guests. So we're coming together as well. Laura, what are your thoughts at this stage, and you know, particularly about spirituality and inner work?
Well, there are a lot of things going on right now that are are going through hard times, and that's very obvious. And we're seeing earth changes, you know, somewhat, as Anaya had mentioned and picked up and brought to light during the interview. And all these things happen for a reason. And when people go through hard times, when things are easy, people tend not to really seek and search within themselves. They're not as motivated. But when times are tough, spiritual work on the inner levels becomes more and more of a priority, okay? Because, you know, the realization that our outer world manifests from our inner space will become a necessity out of the hardship that's going on. So people will more and more seek out a way to get more in touch with their inner selves, to become more empowered, to be able to live a balanced life by acknowledging the spiritual aspect of their being, which mainstream doesn't generally do. They'll acknowledge the religious side, like go to church every Sunday, but that's not really the same as going into your inner self and realizing that that is where many of your answers and much of what you want to manifest in life comes from. That's where it all comes from. And that more of these spiritual aspects of living, like respecting the environment, as Anaya was saying, and so forth, will come to the fore. Spirit has given me information, actually, and I'm going to say this, you know, when I've asked for guidance, I've been shown that as our economic system and various systems begin to break down, people will be motivated to find their own answers to the chaos in their lives and to find balance through their personal spiritual work. They'll seek out ways to do this through healing work, through vision quests where they go into asking about their life purpose, because as Maureen said, I also believe that finding your life purpose so that you can be who you are meant to be and live it out and contribute according to your gifts and abilities will become paramount fairly soon. Books, psychic and intuitive counselors and mediums and channeling and so forth, people will do their searching and they'll work to become self-empowered and manifest what they want in their lives rather than fall quote unquote victim, if you want to put it that way, to the chaos happening around us. They're going to take back control by realizing that the only way to do that is through self-empowerment and creating their lives as they want it to be, that there are no victims. And that's why I think spiritual work will become much more of a priority in the future. It's already happening.
Hopefully, absolutely. We're seeing more and more. I'm speaking to so many clients that say that they, you know, they want to commit to spiritual work, and it's definitely happening. It's an exciting time. I'm going to repeat the number one last time before we start taking calls. We have got some calls coming in, but I'll repeat the number anyway for future reference. It's 724-444-4851. Now we have a caller from Florida. Firstly, who do we have with us from Florida today?
My name is Tina.
Sorry, your name is?
Tina.
Tina.
Tina. Hey, Tina, how are you doing?
Doing okay.
Wonderful, Tina. Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you for calling in. What's your question for us this evening, Tina?
I'm laying heavily on my career path. I have split energy, and I'm not quite sure what direction I need to be going in. I've been kind of in a standstill for the last 4.5 years. You know, I have an interest in being an attorney, I have an interest in science, and then I have an interest in actively doing ministry. And, you live with money. We have to have the money to make things go around. So, you know, I have to make some decisions at this time. So I'm just wondering if you see anything as far as what direction I should be taking at this time, if any doors are opening.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to ask Maureen to respond to you firstly, Tina.
Hi, Tina. This is Maureen. Yeah, you know, when you were talking about you, a little bit of like, it does look like you've been kind of out of balance, but that's okay, or not being able to fuse with this or that. And that's fine. And I do feel, you know, for whatever reasons, it's the lessons, but I get a good feeling after the first of the year, you're going to have what I call a very hard-earned victory. And when I mean hard-earned, I mean very hard-earned. But I get more like it's going to, after the first year, it'll be like I get in the middle to late February, and it looks like there's some, you and somebody else, and there's money or generosity if it's coming from somewhere or a person or a grant. I don't know clearly what this is, but it looks like, and you said something about finances, you will have the means to, you look really excited. It's like something brand new you've been wanting to do. It's like a feeling like a kid being able to have something, be able to go and do something with their finance or material means, okay? And it's really positive, but there is a woman here who is not very supportive, and I don't know who she is. She has lighter hair. And I think that you need to be okay about people that may not, you know, that a lot of people would like to tell you what you should be doing or not. I get a really good feeling that you're on your way, but it's really important that you know, check yourself, and it's okay if some people don't feel that you should be doing it. It really isn't about that. Sometimes people need to sort themselves out. And
okay.
But it's very positive. And I'm not clear what it is, but there will be money to be able to do or offering generosity. There's generosity, and you're on your way. I think you'll probably be able to teach and get some stuff. And go for it. You know, no more juggling act. It's almost like it's over, and it's good. It's a good thing. I hope
awesome.
You followed me on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wonderful, Tina. Thank you. We've got lots of callers in, but I do want to give everybody else the opportunity just to give you their insight. So, Rita, what are your thoughts?
Well, Tina,
yes.
If she's still, you're still there, Tina?
Yes.
Okay. I just keep getting lawyer, 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 lawyer. And it's coming around to the sense of the satisfaction in providing justice. There's a very strong sense within you of wanting to be that person who stands up and defends people, who comes to the aid of those who need that kind of specialized help. And I just kept getting this repeat word in front of my head of this lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. So if you have to decide between these three things, which is kind of funny because the same thing had happened to me a few months ago, and a decision is necessary now. You do need to move through this period because you were sort of in one of these, they call it like a transition where your soul is sort of sorting through what's important to it. And the sense that I'm getting is that you have a strong pull towards justice and doing what's right. So the feeling here is that you should turn your attention towards the lawyer route, and that would be giving you the most pleasure.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sounds great. Yes.
Is that kind of where you were leaning? Were you thinking of that more than the others?
I recently started applying. You know, it took a lot for me to decide to go back to my original desire, my long-standing desire, and I started applying for law schools, but I don't know what's pulling me back.
Yeah, it's just a fear. You just have a fear that you might not be good enough, and this is what happens to a lot of people, a ton of people, so it's not just you. But, yeah, there's a little bit of fear there. You are good enough. You're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. But you definitely have it. And exactly what Maureen said is that because you have initiated this action, the universe is going to come through for you now. You've given your 10%, they're going to give 90%. So you are going to get a benefactor or some help here. It could be in the form of some kind of scholarship or somebody just stepping forward and saying, I like this person, I want to see her do well, and somebody helping you financially towards that. So just feel confident. You do have it. You've got the ability.
Okay.
Thank you, Rita. And sure. Tina, I wanted to also invite Alora to give her thoughts and insight for you.
Okay. Great. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Tina, what I wanted to say was you are in the process of really looking inward and really kind of deciding what you're doing. They're showing me that, more like a sacred space. And what they're saying is you may be surprised by what you come up with. And they're saying that try to kind of go outside the boundaries of what you're thinking of. A lawyer and or a scientist, which tells me you probably like details and analysis and things of that nature. They're saying that you may be surprised what you come up with. I really feel that you still have some more searching in your soul to do, not so much outwardly, but inwardly, to really find what your passion is. And that is what they're saying, is that there's something in you that wants to nurture your passion, and that's what you have to do. You haven't quite found that yet, and it's because you still need to kind of be... don't put restrictions on your thinking. I feel it may have something more to do with lecturing.
Okay.
And I want to tell you that as far as, you know, if you're doubting your abilities, like if you wanted to go to law school or any of those things, you certainly have all the ability in the world. But make sure that you go with what your passion is. That is key. And law school is an avenue. However, I'm not getting necessarily that that's going to be where your passion is. If you want justice, and I have a couple of law degrees myself, the way the legal system is set up today, you would have to be exceptionally strong, and you can be, but you also have to stay within restricted limitations of what the law says. And you can do very satisfying work as an advocate. You just have to be very careful as the kind of law you want to practice. So really think good and hard about this, but I really think that you're going to wind up doing lecturing of some sort or speaking of some sort. So kind of start talking more, be open to the answers that you get, and they may not be the kind of answers you think they're going to be. So I'm asking you to be open-minded about it. The answers that you get. Find your passion, whatever that passion is.
I'm a forerunner in new science. That's kind of like a I don't know the word for it. That's why I was thinking of trying to bridge the new science with the law. But I kind of see it as a battle in the...
Well, that might be
I'm
the case then.
I'm attracting people from all the different industries. But I'm really putting myself out there, and I can almost see myself opening up that specialty through the law.
Okay, then you're using a different avenue or you're putting a different spin on the law, and that's good. So, yeah, go with what you feel inside and go with your passion, and that's a good thing. You're thinking outside of the box. So
right.
I'm seeing that's important.
Right. And we wish you lots of luck and love for the future, Tina. And thank you so much for calling in. It was wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina. Good luck. Okay, guys. Now, we've got a lot of callers this evening, so apologies if we can't get to everybody, but we're going to try and get through quite a few people by keeping the readings relatively short, but we'll do our very best for you. Now, we also have a call now from Michigan. Who do we have from Michigan? Hello? Who do we have from Michigan?
Hello, Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay, well, Susan, what's your question for us this evening?
Well, I was devastated by a man that left me after 22 years of marriage. And I was wondering if I would ever find love again with him or with someone else.
Okay. So you want to focus on love. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask Maureen to read for you firstly.
Okay. Hi, Susan. I'm sorry to hear that. It sounds like you're in your voice. Would you say this again? You said this man just recently?
3 years ago.
But it's still, you know, it looks like, you know, I'm sorry to hear this, but, you know, I'll tell you something. It looks like you are about ready. You're getting like a renewed, your batteries are being renewed now after a long time of being in like a convalescence, and I almost like see it as somewhat of a depression. I do feel that you're really taking control. You're taking control of your direction right now, and I feel that this man did not bring the best of you out. And I'm not saying that we need to be partnered with people like that, but I do feel that this is a pattern. It was a pattern. You will not tolerate this ever again. You are a very strong woman. I think you need to remember to, realize the strength available. You have conquered and you've tamed a lot of intense obstacle, or tamed a lion for that matter. But I do feel that he made you feel inadequate, or you allowed him to make you feel inadequate as a woman that would have to be a kept woman, and you're not that. You got lost in this, and I see a really good new time that you're taking yourself back, getting back. I call it the soul skin, whatever it is. Getting back into that, and you know, I think that it's just, and this will happen again. It'll be another lesson where somebody will try to betray and stuff. And I think that this time around, you're not going to be interested in this. It's a very hard time, but it's a good time for you to become stronger, to be in a healthy relationship. So working on yourself, and I see a lot of good things coming your way, and you deserve it.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen. Laura, what are your feelings and insights around the future for Susan?
I actually see that she doesn't realize it right now because she's going through a hard time emotionally and she's having to pull herself up, but she's a very strong woman. She's going to pull herself up and she's going to be strong, just like Maureen says. A lot of self-reflection. Right now she's kind of in that state where she needs to kind of allow things to flow, the emotions to flow through, but she's going to go through her self-reflective period. She's going to come to realize certain things, really plant her feet strong on the ground, and she will find love again. You will find love again.
Absolutely, Susan. And I'm not going to read too much this evening, Susan, because I'm hosting the show, so you're probably all tired of hearing me. But I want to give you the name Dennis or Denny, Susan. I feel very optimistic for the future for you. My heart goes out to you for having had this breakup in the past. But although it may sound strange, try and be grateful that it it didn't take longer, because you're now in a situation where you really can find the love and the relationship that you deserve. So we wish you all the luck and love in the world, Susan, and do let us know how you get on. You'll do just brilliantly, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, we have another caller from Texas. Who do we have on the line from Texas?
Hello?
Who do we have? Hi, what's your name?
I'm in Arizona.
Oh, you're in Arizona? Okay.
Arizona, that's my home state. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. My name is Dee, and I am
calling about
love.
Love. Okay, what was your name, sorry?
Denise.
Okay, Denise. Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. I'm gonna ask Rita to read for you first of all, Denise, but thank you for being here. What are your thoughts, Rita?
Denise from Arizona. You're asking about love, Denise?
Yes.
Are you currently in a relationship right now?
No, I recently got out of one, not but about a month or so ago.
Okay. All right. All right, well, I'm getting this vision of you being happy to be free. And so what that's telling me is that you have a period of time where you need to kind of enjoy yourself. And they say this in all happiness. You have about, I'd say, like 3 or 4 angels with you that are telling me this. And they're giving me this, like, thumbs up and a happy wink and a smile. So they're saying that you're kind of more in control of this situation than you realize. You've really got the power here. You can kind of command what's going to happen in your love life, even though you don't believe that or feel that right now. But you do. You've sort of come to a period in your life now where you're a little more confident. And the sense that they are giving me is one of sort of joy. So I don't know if they're happy that you left that, but it's sort of like if you wanted to, you could go back to that. Do you feel that way too? Do you feel you could go back to him if you wanted to?
No, this was absolutely my decision, leaving this last relationship.
Okay.
And
I'm definitely
in a state where I'm happy to be single again, but at the same time, I'm kind of wondering, all right, is there anything else? So, yeah, it's definitely good.
Well, the overriding feeling I'm getting is they really want you to just go out and have a good time right now and really not think about it. Because, like, they're giving me this total, you're totally in control. You really are. And that you just confirmed it for me. You broke up with him. You know what you want. You absolutely do. It's right there on the tip of your tongue, almost, so to speak. You know it exactly. And there is absolutely no denying that you know what you want. And when you see it, you're going to get it. But you have to just enjoy yourself right now. Don't. They're saying don't think about it. Go dancing. Go have fun.
Yeah.
Go be yourself. That's the feeling. And they're very proud and happy of your strength. So you're doing great.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Denise. Now, Alora's got some insight for you as well, Denise.
Yeah, very similar to Rita. I'm not getting that it's a bad thing that you're by yourself. I'm getting it's a good thing. And you do have some healing to do on the level of getting out and having a good time. It's really important for you to lighten up and have a lot of fun. You are going through changes. Honor that and honor that in a joyful way. I'm not really seeing that you're particularly attracted to anybody. So if you're not, accept that and just kind of get out and enjoy. Whether it's with your girlfriends or whatever, you just get out and enjoy. So don't even worry about it. It's not an issue for you. And that's it. That's all I want to be sure.
Thank you, Alora. And you know, Denise, it's incredible. Spirit are amazing because Susan was asking about relationships and I got the name Dennis, and the fact that you called in next and your name is so similar is confirmation of that name for Susan, but also confirmation that you're going to get absolutely what you're looking for as well. So we wish you all of the luck and love in the world as well. Just go for it, okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Fantastic. Now we have a call from Georgia. Who do we have with us from Georgia?
Well, actually, I'm calling from Florida. I just have a Georgia number, and my name is Miracle.
Okay, your name is Miracle.
Yes.
Hi, Miracle. What's your question for Miracle?
Well, I kind of like two questions in one. I'm in school for occupational therapy, so I wanted to know, was that going to work out as far as my career and my grades? And the second question is that I'm kind of, I guess, dating someone, and I wanted to see, was that going to work out as well?
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm going to ask Alora to read for you first. What are your insights, Alora?
Sure. As far as the occupational therapy is concerned, I get that will work out if you want it to, but I don't get that it's what you really enjoy, or at least the schooling part. I'm not sure. But so as far as whether or not you'll succeed in school, you'll be fine, but it's not really something you really love. That's what I get about that. As far as dating is concerned, I know our time is limited, but one of the things, just basically, I don't see things happening for you in the dating world at this time, okay? There are just other things you have to do, and there's some personal work that's going to be very important for you to integrate before you actually find that person that you're wanting to be with, okay? And one of those things is to be able to be much more open and honest. I'm not saying you're not an honest person, but being able to relate to a person more openly, whoever you're with. Sometimes it's hard because we feel vulnerable to that person. We're afraid our feelings will get hurt and all that stuff. It's really important for you to step forward and be able to disclose who you are to that person much more so. So, and you're young, so you've got time. But anyway, that's what I get for you.
Well, thank you for calling in, Miracle. We wish you all the very best as well. Now, we have a caller. Not sure where Sassy Girl is from, but love the name. Sassy Girl, can you hear us? Hello, Sassy Girl. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Would you like to give us your name, or do you want us to call you Sassy Girl?
No, my name is Joya.
Your name is Joya?
Julia.
Julia. Sorry, Julia. Yes. I've lived in the States for nearly 3 years and still haven't got the gist of the accent. What's your question for us this evening, Julia?
Well, my question has to do with my love life, I guess you could say. I'm currently in a relationship, but he is currently away fighting for custody of his grandson. And I was just wondering if you see this possibly changes coming where he can finally come home?
Okay.
You mean
go
soon?
Go ahead, Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just, when you said he can come home like... He will eventually come home, but do you mean like soon? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah.
I get something.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maureen.
No, it's okay. Oh, are you okay? Laura, I will go ahead. excuse me. I'll go ahead, and then you can go like a second hand.
Okay.
You know, I do get a feeling he's working his tail up. It's a nice way to say but. But, he's a workaholic. You know, it looks like that you're feeling like you're in self-imprisonment. It's a real bummer to feel that way. I think you really want to be in a traditional, conventional type of relationship. And I think you've worked very hard at hanging in there. And you've been waiting for, how do you say, when the farmers used to, you know, do their planting and you wait for the harvest or the fruits of the labor to come back. You have a lot of patience. It's no doubt about it, Julia. But I do get a feeling that it's only a matter of time. I think that you need, if you can get yourself out of the self-imprisonment and rise to the occasion, I feel really, really positive that there's a completion here with him. And if he has dark hair, I see, if I could be wrong, maybe it's not him, but I see dark hair, I see a child laid around you. It's really positive. I think that in the next 5 months, it's going to be about you releasing yourself and freeing yourself from thinking that death, this won't ever come to be because you've put so much energy and work into it and patience. It's wonderful. I get a very positive feeling. But it will be within the 5 months, you'll see what I'm maybe talking about, that it will be really offering. I hope you follow.
Thank you, Maureen. Laura, what are your thoughts?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm chipping in too much. what are your thoughts for Sassy Girl?
Sassy Girl, actually, it will, same thing Maureen says, it's going to take more time, be patient, you know, just really understand that the legal process requires all kinds of things to be in place. It takes forever. It's just the nature of the beast, but things are going to come around. He is going to come on, come out on top, and things will complete themselves. So he will be coming back home. Just be patient. Just know it. Have faith in it, and allow him the space and time to go through all of the intricacies of the legal process to do it without feeling too pulled. Okay, just kind of stand by him if you can do that, and know that he's working on it, and it's going to come out very good. He'll be coming home.
Okay. I can wait. I've waited this long. I'll continue to wait.
we'll be thinking of you and sending you lots of positive energy. I'm sure it'll work out. So we wish you lots of luck as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Julia.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Julia. Okay, so we've taken quite a number of calls, and it's great to speak to so many people. But I was wondering if it would be nice to just spend the last few minutes just going back to our earlier discussions and what we've learned from Anaya, and thinking about how that relates to the people that have called in. You know, Rita, what are you feeling right now? So as you think back to the readings all about love, you know, we've talked about community and working together, spirituality, etc. What are your thoughts having listened to those callers and those readings?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm never sure if my mute's on or off.
No, you're perfect. Go ahead.
I just feel that, you know, like I said earlier, everybody's grasping for love right now. Love's going to save us. Love's the one power in the universe that really is, it is everything to me. In my estimation, our world and everyone and everything on it is going to go through a change that's going to shake loose all their old beliefs. It's going to unclog any stuck energy and reveal what had previously been hidden. And new life is going to be breathed into what we consider to be our ultimate purpose here on Earth. I think that as each person goes through these changes they're going through right now, they're going to be reaching out for help. And there's going to be a need for more spiritual teachers out there, more people who are tuning in to this path of light that we're on, light workers, so to speak, because we're here to create heaven on Earth. It can be achieved again, like we learned in the show we did about Atlantis. You know, that was an ideal community. This is another chance for us to achieve that level of harmony. And you have to go through growing pains to get there. So I think that if we can take anything from what we've heard tonight, it's that we are a continuation of our ancestors. And just like our children will be a continuation of us in the future. And each stride forward brings us closer and closer to this beautiful world that we can co-create once we realize we are, in fact, divine beings, full of love and light. So that's the feeling I have. And everybody who wants love can find love. It's there. Just go through your lessons, you know, be patient, ask angels for help, and you'll be there. You'll feel it. You'll feel the love.
Well, we're feeling the love this evening, Rita. it's a really, really nice show. And Laura, what are your thoughts at this stage?
My thoughts are similar to Rita's. The one thing I would add as a perspective that is really key and crucial is love for oneself. We do want love with another person, but the thing to remind yourself or remember is that you can't find completion in another person without first doing your own work on yourself. You have to be willing to go inside, do your inner work, and depending on the quality of love you want to find in another person, that will correlate with the quality of love you find in yourself, the wholeness that you find in yourself, and your willingness to have the courage to be open and to and honest with yourself, to take a good hard look at yourself, accept yourself, love yourself as you are, and so that when you open yourself to another person, whether or not they accept you, which is not easy for anybody, but that won't become so much an issue as the quality of love with that person. In other words, if you want high quality love, you want that person to love you no matter what. And so it's really important to do work on yourself before you go out.
Sorry, Laura, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's okay.
I was just excited, Laura, because, you know, I've had the issues in the past finding love, and it's the day that I woke up and recognized that I'm complete as I am, and that I love myself. That's the day that I found my wonderful partner. It is possible, but I think it is a lot to do with how we feel about ourselves. Maureen, yes. what are your thoughts on love before we wrap up?
Love that word, love. Okay, well, this is my feelings on the whole thing about all of us as far as having love in our heart. And it all goes like this, because I'm not interested in that love word. But it is a critical time that we have it within our power to change everything. And that means finding a really good connected partner, great. But we all have it within ourselves, and we all need to rise to the occasion, because there's a new level of evolution coming that we will be able to couple up with our lifelong partners because of it, much easier than it has been. There you have it.
Yep.
Wonderful, Maureen. Well, that's fantastic words to take us to the close of the show. Now, this brings us to the end of another outstanding show. It's been a lot of fun, and I want to thank you all for listening, and encourage you to join us again. And you know, feel free to send the details of the show, either the archives or the link for future shows, to your friends, and you can do that through Facebook or through the internet. We don't mind. You know, I want to just go back to gratitude for Anaya, who is just a wonderful man, and you know, the more people that hear his insights from Spirit, the better. So please do help get the word out there by sending on information about the show and Anaya's words. I also want to thank Doug for being our fantastic executive producer and for helping us make everything happen. Now, next week's show will be anchored by Rita. Rita, could you tell us what we can look forward to for next week?
Yes, we're going to have our special guest, Penny Pierce, who's the author of Frequency, the Power of Personal Vibration. The theme for our show next week is 2012, Don't Be Afraid, or Don't Worry, Be Happy, as I like to say. So we're going to be talking about what you can look forward to. Penny's an expert on energy and vibration, and this is what's really kind of happening with all of us. Our energy is shifting. So hopefully that will help answer some questions there, and we'll be looking towards not just the future, but a bright future. So it should be a good show.
Yeah.
Wonderful, Rita. Well, we look forward to it, and I know that it'll be a great show. So I want to thank everybody for being part of the show this evening. It was just great. We're really looking forward to having you with us again next week for the show anchored by Rita. So God bless you all, and have a wonderful end of the week and a fantastic weekend.
Thank you for being with us tonight. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.
And I say the same. Good night.
Good night.